Well, Shabbat Shalom. What a delight it was for me to be able to, in New York, at the headquarters of Chosen People Ministries this week, to be able to meet with other Chavarot leaders, other leaders of fellowships around North America. Unfortunately, I was the only leader from Canada. Everybody else was from the United States, which is okay. But I learned some really interesting things while I was there. Every fellowship is facing the same problems. Every fellowship has an issue with attack from outside. Every fellowship is facing criticism from the church, is facing criticism from the Jewish community. Hallelujah, we are doing something right. Bear with me, please, as I recount to you a modern-day version of a trial of the sins of humanity, brought forward by HaSatan, the adversary. The judge in the trial is Hashem. There is no jury. HaSatan brought his trial forward since that was his role, and he took his responsibility quite seriously and with more than a modicum of glee. The court bailiff, the Archangel Michael, read out the charges against humanity. The list of grievances grew as the charges were intoned. Worshipping other gods and idols, using Yahweh's name in vain, dishonoring the Sabbath day, not respecting the elders of their communities, failing to care for the downtrodden, the widows and the orphans amongst them, stealing, murdering millions of unborn children, disregarding spouses through adultery. The list went on and on and on. With each charge, the grin on the face of HaSatan grew wider. The frown on the face of humanity got deeper. In his opening remarks following the reading of the charges, HaSatan told the judge the evidence was irrefutable and called for the death penalty. Humanity spoke next and explained to the judge the charges were accurate, but there were mitigating and extenuating circumstances. The defendant then explained there were many, many good deeds, which if taken all together would almost outweigh the committed sins. After hearing both sides argue their cases, Hashem, the judge, was about to make his ruling when a surprise witness asked to be heard. The plaintiff, HaSatan, objected, and the defendant, humanity, was silent. The judge agreed and asked the witness to take the stand. As Adonai Yeshua walked to the witness box, there was a hushed silence in the courtroom. Very quietly, but clearly, he stated HaSatan was right to bring charges against humanity for the sins they committed. And he agreed with HaSatan that the penalty for these sins was death. However, he intoned an ancient Hebrew principle that the death of a righteous man will atone for the sins of the many. And therefore, Adonai Yeshua volunteered to assume the punishment for those sins. There was a collective gasp from humanity. And HaSatan jumped to his feet, objecting to Adonai Yeshua's voluntary assumption of humanity's just punishment. The judge in his ruling cited the articles of Isaiah 53, subsection 4 to 12, and Hebrews 9, subsection 12 to 28, as he accepted Adonai Yeshua's request. Having made the ruling, he turned away in sadness and in anger as the bailiff led Adonai Yeshua to his punishment. Was this just? How was humanity allowed to escape the required punishment for its sins? Death. And this is the issue, the heart of Yahweh. In today's message, I have been led to unpack another aspect of his character, justice. Abba Father, I pray that our hearts will be open today, as well as our minds. I pray that we are receptive to your word about justice and how that is a characteristic of our beloved God, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. B'shem Yeshua Moshiachenu. Amen. Justice. The Hebrew word is tzaddik, which also means righteous, is one of the most frequently used words in Scripture. In both its forms, just and righteous, it is used 822 times, while love and salvation together are used 630 times. Why would justice or righteousness be used more frequently than would the words we associate with the heart of the gospel? Well, as it turns out, justice and righteousness are the heart of the gospel. This may need some unpacking. Torah speaks of justice and righteousness many times. For example, Exodus 23 warns us, "Do not follow the crowd when it does what is wrong, and don't allow the popular view to sway you into offering testimony for any cause if the effect will be to pervert justice." And in Deuteronomy 40, we read, "At the end of every 3 years, you are to take all the tenths of your produce from that year and store it in your towns. Then the Levi, because he has no share or inheritance like yours, along with the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow living in your towns, will come, eat, and be satisfied, so that Adonai, your God, will bless you in everything your hands produce." The justice theme is very much at the heart of the prophets. Many of the prophets of Yahweh preached and taught of the heart of Hashem being just and righteous. And as such, man was expected to emulate these qualities. Listen to the teachings of Isaiah, found in chapter 30. "Yet Yahweh is still waiting to show you favor. He will have pity on you from on high. Yahweh is a God of justice. Happy are all who wait for him." This is reiterated in chapter 56, as Yahweh shares with us, "Observe justice, do what is right, for my salvation is close to coming, my righteousness to being revealed." In the book of Micah, chapter 6, we read, "Human being, you have already been told what is good, what Adonai demands of you, no more than to act justly, love grace, and walk in purity with your God." While in exile, Yehuda was warned by the prophet Zechariah, "Administer true justice. Let everyone show mercy and compassion to his brother. Don't oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, or poor people," as we read in chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. However, Israel continued to act against the commands of Elohim. As a result, the consequences were swift and harsh. In Amos 5, we find Israel being condemned for their predilection to turn justice to bitter wormwood and throw righteousness to the ground, as they ignored the plights of the widow, of the orphan, and the poor. Their captivity and the exile of Yehuda were both a result of denying justice to those who Yahweh demanded justice and righteousness be shown. Did these consequences produce the desired effects within my people? Well, let's journey to the apostolic scriptures. Rav Shaul understood the necessity for justice in the community as he taught his protege, Timothy. I'm sure he wanted to be called Timmy. As we read in 1 Timothy 5, moreover, anyone who does not provide for his own people, especially for his family, has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, why would Shaul claim a believer who does not care for members of his family, as he has been taught, is worse than an unbeliever? Clearly, more is expected from believers than from unbelievers. Wouldn't you agree with this principle? Moreover, accepting justice is at the heart of Torah, the life instructions of Yahweh, for all who believe in him. Denying justice is, in effect, a denial of one's covenantal relationship with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls, and is in direct violation of the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, as found in Mark 22:39, as well as Leviticus 19. Denying justice is akin to denying Adonai Yeshua. Adonai Yeshua himself spoke against injustice as he admonished the Pharisees in their habit of denying justice to those in need. Listen to his condemnation of their hypocritical behavior as we read in Matthew 23, verses 1 to 4. The Torah teachers and the Prushim sit in the seat of Moshe. So whatever they tell you, take care to do it. But don't do what they do, because they talk but don't act. They tie heavy bonds onto people's shoulders but won't lift a finger to help carry them. Everything they do is done to be seen by others, for they make their tefillin broad and their tzitziot long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and they love being greeted deferentially in the marketplace and being called rabbi. The ancient rabbis recognized the importance of justice in the lives of Yahweh's people. In Pirkei Avot, Wisdom of the Fathers, a section of Mishnah, the oral Torah accepted by rabbinic Jews as being equal to the Torah of Moshe, we are told justice is the central principle of Torah, equal to loving Yahweh with all our hearts, souls, and might, as we understand from Shema, which we read this morning. Maimonides, one of the greatest rabbis of the Middle Ages, wrote, "The highest form of justice is to assist the poor out of their state by helping them become independent and self-reliant through interest-free loans, teaching, and mentorship." Boy, that's going well today, isn't it? This is quite a modern concept, discussed almost 900 years ago. I wonder how we would be as a community if we were actively following Maimonides' teachings today. During the Depression, Fiorello LaGuardia, one of the greatest mayors of New York City has known, was sitting as a night court judge. A woman appeared before him, charged with stealing food to feed her children. LaGuardia had a desire to satisfy the demands of both justice and mercy. And so, finding the woman guilty of theft, fined her $10, an impossible sum for her to pay. At the same time, he fined everyone in the court, including himself, 50 cents, since they were complicit in her theft by living in a city which forced her to steal in order to keep her children alive. The money was collected, the fine was paid, and what was left over was given to the woman. Now that is an example of how Yahweh wishes us to be just. For me, the lesson is there is no justice without mercy. The two go hand in hand. We are advised to remember that. We find this clearly outlined for us in Micah 6. No more than to act justly, love grace, and walk in purity with your God. In this context, the Hebrew word for grace is chesed, which is the same word for mercy. So the verse may be interpreted as to act justly, love mercy, and walk in purity with your God. Added to this understanding is Yahweh's imperative found in the book of Amos, chapter 5. Let justice well up like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let justice well up like water. Mayim Chayim, living water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Can you picture that? Can you see that within your own hearts? Justice and righteousness flowing through us from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we all allowed that to happen. And I grieve when it doesn't. Once again, we find a synonym for mercy used in Scripture. This time, righteousness and mercy are synonyms, having the same word, tzaddik, meaning both. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, we find the command, learn to do good, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, defend orphans, plead for the widow. In this context, we are shown the how of mercy. Relieve the oppressed, defend orphans, and plead for widows. Acts of mercy are what Yahweh means when he says, learn to do good. Adonai Yeshua shared with us the importance of mercy as being one of the Beatitudes we find in Matthew 5. How blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. And what happens if we do not show mercy? This understanding is clearly explained in the letter of Yaakov, as we read in chapter 2. For judgment will be without mercy toward one who doesn't show mercy. But mercy wins out over judgment. Listen to that again. Mercy wins out over judgment. And Yaakov was not speaking to unbelievers. Yaakov was speaking to believers. Believers who were showing prejudice. Believers who were judging others unfairly. believers who are not taking responsibility. The question is well asked. How do we show mercy? Every Shabbat in the Winnipeg Free Press, we can read a column entitled Random Acts of Kindness. Each week are detailed how people have been helped by strangers, purses returned which have been left on buses, money and credit cards intact, people assisted who have had accidents while walking on uneven sidewalks, riding bicycles. My question is, why do we not readily show mercy? Rav Shaul, in 2 Corinthians 2, makes it abundantly clear to us, if someone has been a cause of pain, it is not I whom he has pained, but in some measure, all of you. For such a person, the punishment already imposed on him by the majority is sufficient, so that now you should do the opposite. Forgive him, encourage him, comfort him. Otherwise, such a person might be swallowed up in overwhelming depression. There is not one of us who has not been a pain in someone else's life. I can attest to my being a pain in many people's lives. Many of those are right here, right now. And by the smiles on some of your faces and the silent giggles, I know I have touched the truth. Beloved, fellowship requires the mercy which is inherent within forgiveness. Ours or any fellowship cannot exist without enormous amounts of mercy and grace. Lest we think showing mercy to others is optional, like children think saying please and thank you is often optional, listen to the instructions given to us from Rav Shaul, who received his instruction directly from Adonai Yeshua, through Torah and Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive him. Indeed, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. In this passage, Shaul's instruction is not you may forgive, but it is you must forgive. There is no option. There is no choice. Beloved, if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. Let's become very real here, right now. If we do not show mercy through forgiveness and a desire for reconciliation, then we desire revenge and pain to fall upon others. There is no other alternative. There is no neutral ground here. Either we desire to forgive or we desire pain. Nothing else. No other choice. We need to seek our hearts and very clearly decide which road we wish to travel. The road of mercy, forgiveness and reconciliation, or the road of revenge, pain, and self-destruction. Which road do you wish to travel? Abba Father, our beloved Yahweh, I pray for your help and guidance. I pray that you help us to become truly merciful to those who need mercy, generous to those who need our generosity, and present to those who need our presence, specifically the ones who are a pain to us. Those who do not deserve our forgiveness, but need our forgiveness. Help us to extend mercy and to leave the judging to Yahweh and Adonai Yeshua. In your beloved name I pray.